You're listening to Talking Credit Unions, and I'm Chris Smith. Now, this podcast may be useful to board members of credit unions interested in diversity of their own board of directors. Today, you'll hear from Robert Kelly, Chief Exec of APCL, the Trade Association, and Marlene Shields, Chief Executive Officer of Capital Credit Union in Scotland. Val Walwyn-Tate, the Chief Exec of Plainsaver Credit Union in the southeast of England. We've also got Rob Shearing, the Chief Executive Officer, and Kevin Fearden, the Chairperson, both from Wolverhampton Credit Union in the Midlands in England. And finally, we've got Carl George, MBE, from the Governance Forum. What started me on this topic of diversity was the question, what does a truly inclusive credit union board of directors look like? I guess in a world where everyone's trying to have their voice heard, it's never been more critical to have a fully accepting, inclusive culture and a boardroom where equal opportunity is, well, I guess, championed. So this podcast begins to explore the challenges facing credit unions. Some credit unions have been successful at achieving quite a diverse board of directors, but some are still on the journey. I thought I'd try and get to grips with some of the challenges. Both COVID-19 and the whole movement of Black Lives Matter has given credit union leaders good reason to rethink how their organisation will respond to new realities and transform themselves from frontline right through to boardroom. And I guess many well-meaning credit unions have been wary of exposing their ignorance or uncertainty of how to improve diversity and inclusion. Only recently, the British Credit Union Trade Association, APCL, launched its own Talent and Diversity Committee to directly explore the future makeup of the association's own board of directors. I took an opportunity to ask Robert Kelly, the Chief Executive Officer, what was the thinking here?
Yeah, I think what was driving this from the APCL side was I think a realization over many years, actually, when I was on the board and chairing the association before this role, that the volume of feedback that we'd had from members around potential barriers to participation, and not only through the actual board itself, but also I think in relation to forums in different places, and you know, so there was an element of what does the sense of democracy and the access areas look like in terms of participating in the overall governance structure of the association. And I was struck that we've done a lot of work over the years about removing barriers, and I think that's been really helpful. It's came up with some practical steps, like we always used to meet at the weekend. Now as a board, we will, you know, we've done a split so that there's some midweek sessions. Obviously during COVID, we've moved to online. We put in place other practical procedural steps. So we recognised that there was the balance wasn't right in terms of gender. The balance wasn't right in terms of ethnicity, and that we needed, and also from a demographics perspective, that we weren't attracting younger people to the APCL board. And I'm sure that that's a very common story across the country in terms of member credit unions. So what we tried to do in the initial steps was, as part of a democracy working group, and this felt important because it actually came from members. Members came to our AGM and provided motions over the years that have said, we don't feel that there is enough opportunity to get more closely involved with the governance structure and with the association. I think the other bit that's really struck me in recent times, Chris, is that, and we've had feedback on this topic, is I think if you're a younger person, or if you're of a different demographic, or if you are someone from Black and ethnic minority and Asian populations, you weren't necessarily seeing yourself when you looked at our board. You didn't see an opportunity. There wasn't a mirror there that says you guys represent what it feels to be like, and you know, in terms of those parts of society. And I think we had to do something about that. It's been interesting that we actually got a photograph of the original APCL board, and way back when the association was being built under a different name, just as the credit union sector was taken off in this country, and all but one of those individuals, I think there was 12 at the time, all but one of those individuals was from the Black community, because that's the origins of our movement. And we've almost went full circle. So I think the main point that I wanted to make is that this is not just about an individual issue around gender or demographics or a race, ethnicity. It's about a whole other gambit of issues. But I do feel that in some cases, in different parts of the country or in different sectors, I think the financial services sector in the City of London, as an example, has really grasped this issue about female representation on boards, quite rightly. It's an ultra important. But I think there's an element of you silo one issue within diversity. And what we want to do is to make sure that that is much more encompassing.
And thank you to Robert Kelly from the Trade Association, APCL. And it's worth mentioning a big thank you to Robert and Karen Bennett for continued change, positive change, taking place at this trade association. Now, next I spoke to Marlene Shields, the Chief Executive Officer of Capital Credit Union. Capital Credit Union based in the east side of Scotland, with about £33 million in assets and over 23,000 members. I started out by asking Marlene, how does Capital Credit Union go about seeking diversity onto its board of directors?
So yes, we will go out and cherry pick if we have to, if we hear of someone who's in our membership that we think, you know what, that person would be a really good board member. We don't make any apology for going and talking to them and encouraging them to come on, get co-opted, see if you like us, and then go and stand for election at the AGM.
I put it to Marlene that it's not easy recruiting directors onto boards of credit unions.
I think actually one of the biggest challenges over the last couple of years has been the FCA senior managers regime. You know, that's put a new spin on board membership and a new responsibility on people. And that has been quite challenging. And, you know, we've had to work within that. But it's there to strengthen the credit union. It's there to strengthen all financial institutes to make sure that we don't fall back into where we were in 2008, 2009. And what it very clearly says as well, though, and I think some credit unions miss this point, it's not saying, SMCR is not saying you have to go out and recruit all these qualified people. It doesn't say that. It says you have to recruit people who can do the job, but you can train them. You can give them, you can develop people into good board members. They don't have to turn up on day one and have a qualification or, you know, 20 years experience in a particular field. You can get them there. And so, you know, some credit unions I see are really fearful of the regime, and they think it's, well, this is put democracy in the second league now, almost. It hasn't. It's about investment. And I go back to what I said earlier. It's about investing in your people. The FCA recognise that. But if you want a diverse board that is representative of your membership, again, you have to work at that. You have to put the policies and procedures in place, and then you have to go out and find the people and invest in those people to make sure that they can deliver a good job for you.
Marlene makes a really good point there, but it still leaves me asking the question, where do you get new recruits from?
Yeah, for us, we work with 80 employers here at Capital Credit Union, and we always find that's a really good source of developing people and speaking to the employer and using their networks. And in the community, we have one of our offices is right in the heart of a local community just outside Edinburgh, and we're connected to all the community groups as well. And that's where we find people. You know, so as you say, if we're looking for a specific skill, like a marketer, an HR person, and our accountant, we would tend to go to our employer networks. If we were looking for someone with a different set of skills, we would tend to go to our community networks.
And my thanks goes to Marlene Shields, Chief Executive Officer at Capital Credit Union. Thanks, Marlene. Now move on to Valerie Walwyn-Tait. Valerie's been the Chief Executive Officer for some time down at Plainsaver Credit Union, based down in Hayes in Middlesex. This credit union's 27 years old, got 15,000 members and got assets over £40 million. This credit union started with a group of British Airways engineers, and Plainsaver Credit Union still serves an awful lot of airline workers and airline industry workers, probably going through a tough time right at the moment. But Valerie found time to talk to us about diversity. I started out by asking Valerie, what sort of things could we do that would change the nature of our boards of directors?
You start with the formal stuff. What does your membership look like? What does a community that you serve look like? And is that represented on your board? And if not, say so, call it out and reach out to individuals that you think might help you to create a more diverse board. Because once you've done read the research and once you genuinely want to help, people will, they will step up. I'm fortunate. I've got a really diverse board. I've got a really diverse community and I've got a really diverse workforce. And I sometimes look at my office and say to, you know, well, why did you join us? Because I haven't done this by design. Whereas my whole career, I've been in the, on the opposite side. I've been a leader, but then I've had to ask these questions around, well, why does nobody look like me? And had to do the exercise in reverse.
I asked Val, has she got any useful hints and tips for other credit unions seeking out new directors at present?
Well, I'll tell you what my board have done is they have joined a directors group, in, you know, an agency that finds directors, because whilst we're diverse, we didn't have the full breadth of skills on our board. And so what my board did was join one of these agencies where they select directors. I'm on one myself to be a director in other companies, and they do a skills and culture match. And I'm not, I can't remember which group it is, but there are several like that. And you let them know what your requirements are and why you want that. And they help you with finding them. And we've been very successful in getting three directors that route. Some of them are already experienced directors on other groups, which is brilliant because it brings a level of know-how and how to operate on a board. They also have a variety of skills from the corporate world. So I've got a lawyer, I've got somebody that's finance, and it just strengthens your board in terms of what they're able to bring to the table. But also, we've had a lot of training of our board done by the Governance Forum. They work with us at least once a year. It's led by Carl, who's a specialist in governance, and we have yearly observations. He looks at our paperwork, as well as being observed by the PRA. And it has strengthened our operations, the operating of the board, you know, and how we function as a board effectively. Yesterday, we had our business planning day, and it's very structured. We all know how to interact. You know, we're all very clear about the outcomes, and it's very productive.
And yearly observation, how does that work?
So we share all the pre-board pack with him, okay? And then he observes a board meeting and then gives us written feedback on both the pack, the process, how we interact. So we do that every year. And the regulators do that, but a smaller credit union won't have that oversight being done independently. So that's what we do with him, as well as training of my board. So every year we have a board training schedule of about 4 sessions a year on different things. The other thing that we do every year is assessment of our chair and how he's run the board meetings for the year.
The guy that does the governance forum, Carl, is part of his governance training and observation. Would that cover diversity as well as in the round?
Yeah, because he's a black guy, so he's just going to tell it as it is. And he's going to talk about the makeup of your board, you know, how you all interact with each other, how you challenge the CEO, is it appropriate, what you need to be sticking to.
And there we have the excellent Valerie Walwyn-Tait. And a big thank you to Valerie for some good insight. She's got loads more, but I haven't got the time to get it all down here. Hopefully we'll get her on another time and ask her some more. But she did give us some good tips. First of all, she was telling us about the organisation that they use called, I've found out since, NED On Board. That's all one word, NED On Board. I think NED standing for non-executive director. So NED on board, and you'll find that if you Google NED on board. And it turns out that this organization, just reading off their website here, it says, we connect businesses and organizations with the community of non-executive directors and board members through our online and offline events. So it seems like it is some sort of kind of dating agency, plus tied in with knowledge and empowerment of various people onto boards, and also a good source of opportunities for people wanting to join other boards and for recruiting people onto your own boards. So good one on that. And then she also went on to talk about Carl George MBE, and we were fortunate. We got in touch with Carl and asked him if he'd give us a few minutes of his time to tell us what he thought about diversity and boards of credit unions.
Okay. Of course, there's going to be lots of ideas about what we do about diversity. It's the perennial challenge at the moment. We're in a season now of Black Lives Matter and everybody thinking about diversity generally. So one of the things that I would say to start off is that actually we sometimes have to take out of the general diversity and inclusion strategies something that's very specific, race inequality. Let's try and find a way to say unapologetically, we've got a problem with race diversity. So let's look at that specifically. And once you think about it specifically, you'll also find out that what we call universal or targeted universalism, if you focus on one area, then all the other areas will benefit also. So it doesn't mean because I'm focusing on race inequality that I'm not thinking about gender or any other inequality. It just means it gives us an opportunity to focus on one area and get the best practice from that area, giving us some benefits in all the other areas. So my first little bit of advice is let's talk about race and let's talk about black sometimes, Black Lives Matters. Let's talk about the issue that we're discussing, because you're almost, again, apologetic about saying the word black. So you're a white man sitting there saying, Carl, can I say black? Now, even amongst people in the black population, they sometimes argue about whether it should be people of colour. BAME, you've heard that terminology back from the kind of 90s. But what that does, Chris, sometimes, it masks what we're talking about. Once you've got them on board, you've got to make sure they're doing their role effectively, and you've all got the same challenge, whether you might think it or not, in the charitable sector, about getting people to give their time and expertise. So what can we do about that then in answer to your question? I got somebody, as you could probably imagine, I get asked to go on boards a lot of the time. It's the area that I sit in, and I tick a lot of boxes. Relatively young. I can't say I'm as young as I used to be. Relatively articulate. You may not have heard it today. I've got a professional background. I'm an accountant and I'm a black man. So I tick a lot of boxes. So people are always asking, will you come and sit on my board? And you want to be careful about offending somebody like me and so on and so forth. So what I would say is when you're recruiting, do recruit for competency. Do recruit for the skills and expertise that person's bringing to the boardroom, and make sure you're demonstrating. If you're looking for a finance type person, if you're looking for a legal type person, if you're looking for someone who's got HR or IT expertise, and a good one to get is young and talent coming up, because they might bring the social media, they might bring some of the ambassadorial stuff that the other board members typically haven't got. Then they're black as well. It's kind of a double bonus, if that makes sense. But you're recruiting for their core skill and you're looking for people in those environments. So your search then becomes, let's have a look at the networks. And this is something you're going to have to do. And I'll give you a football analogy, Chris. I know the football scouts, if there's talent there, they will find it. It doesn't matter what colour you are. They will get into the grassroots. They will find where the players are. And that's why 30, 40% of the players are black, because they're looking for the talent no matter where it is. And we have to kind of take a little bit more of an aggressive approach to say, where are we recruiting from? What do our networks look like? Who are the people we're interacting with? And do you remember Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell?
No.
He, Tipping Point is a really good read, very short read. Mm. It talks about when you get to a particular level, then tipping point happens and everything explodes. Mm. And what he describes in Tipping Point is that there's always somebody in a network who is the person in a relationship in 6 degrees of separation, that when you get to that person, they're connected to everybody.
Are you saying then we've got to just roll our sleeves up and go and get involved in communities in a way that we've never probably done before?
Yeah, definitely. And you can't fix it with a plaster overnight. Mm. It's a whole cultural change of saying we have got to get involved in our communities, find out about them, invest in them, roll our sleeves up. Mm. And a byproduct of that will be the networks that you get involved with. And you'll find these connectors that Michael Gargoyle calls them, who are connected to different people.
Well, that's great. Tell me just briefly, now I've got you on, you've been doing some good work regarding governance with certainly Wolverhampton, and I don't know, for all I know, with Plainsaver Credit Union, with Val. What sort of services do you offer when you go into credit unions?
Yeah, what I do is I specialise in corporate governance, and I'm the guy who gets tingly about corporate governance. Corporate governance, as you know, is about the leadership of an organisation. It's about how the boards operate. And what I try and help them to do is make sure that their governance framework is effective, that board members are trained and are effective in the boardroom, and that we're translating that into the vision and mission of the organisation. So simplifying what good corporate governance is and helping organisations to deliver it.
Very good. That's great. And if they want to find you, I just Googled Carl George and up it came. So it was no problem finding you whatsoever. So I think that sounds like a football chant. There's only one Carl George.
There's only one.
A big thanks to Carl George for his contribution there. Now, I thought it would be useful to try and get in touch with a credit union that serves a pretty diverse area. So I got in touch with Wolverhampton Credit Union. I first spoke to Wolverhampton Credit Union's chair of the board of directors, Kevin Fearon, and I asked Kevin, how do you do it? How do you recruit people onto your board?
We've got to be ambassadors. We've got to get out there. We've got to be talking to business leaders from the commercial sector. We've got to be talking to the local authorities. We've got to be talking to the voluntary sector. All of those community champions from whatever sector that they are that have influence, that people are listening to. Those are the people really that we need to be talking to, we need to be engaging, and basically not just expressing what they can do for us, but what we can do for them. I think as well, though, Chris, is that it's about making sure, it's about us really, particularly board members, building that goodwill.
Yeah.
Because if you are asking for a favour, if you are trying to get the right people on the board with the right skills, really at the end of the day, the reputation of the credit union needs to be one that is held in very high regard as, yes, community-based, yes, looking out for the people, but has a reputation for being professional, being transparent, being honest, those fundamental things. And you've got to have that goodwill in able to get the right people on the board, I would say.
I then asked Wolverhampton Credit Union's own Chief Executive Officer, Rob Shearing, the same question. And how do you recruit people onto the board of directors of your own credit union when you live in such a diverse region?
We have been very reactionary, as a lot of boards are. So a board member leaves and all of a sudden you think you've got a gap, so I'll fill it. The rest of the board go around their circle of contacts. And if you're lucky, you may well, you know, you might end up with a diverse board, you might not. Ordinarily, if your board isn't diverse and you go to your own contacts, you tend to get the same picture over and over again. I think it's interesting you said earlier that you're going to talk to Carl George from the Governance Forum, because we're working with Carl at this present moment in time to try and become more proactive, i.e. looking at the skills that we need around the board and then going out to recruit those new board members so that we So we start to plan ahead a little bit rather than looking backwards over our shoulder. But I think it is, I mean, Wolverhampton is a city of about 260,000 people. And when I looked yesterday, over 88 different languages are spoken across the city, which I kind of went, wow, I didn't know that. And then I'm looking and I'm saying, okay, so we're not as diverse as we really think we are. And actually, we probably need to do a lot more because of, you know, I'm sure there are parts of the city actually that we're not reaching because we don't have the bits and pieces in right languages or we're not attracting the right people. But I think it is very much about, for me, very much about going out and actually talking to the local community and engaging with the local community, because the skills are out there. It doesn't come to you. I think you have to go out and work at it. And we're lucky that some of our board members reflect that community. As I learned yesterday, you know, we have one of the biggest Sikh populations in the country in Wolverhampton. I had a chat with our marketing and comms yesterday, and I said, do we actually know what our membership is? You know, we know where they live. We know their postcode. Do we know their ethnicity? Have we got that data? And I think it very much starts within the organization. You know, having a diverse workforce starts you to have those conversations in the community, but it isn't a quick fix. It isn't something that changes overnight. It isn't something that you can suddenly flick the light switch on and say, oh, I've got a diverse board now, or I've suddenly got new members from the Sikh community. Actually, somebody needs to get out, make those links, make those contacts with whether it be the faith groups, whether it be the local organisations, and somebody then has to go and have those conversations. And I think you need to be professional about it as well. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, there is the commercial world expects a degree of professionalism. Mm. So, you know, they expect a job description. They expect an induction program that works. They expect to see a transparent recruitment process. So there's a balance between having those conversations and opening those doors with a professionalism that sits underneath it that says, actually, this is the expectation of what a board member has to give and do. And actually, that can be quite, there can be quite a commitment there.
Excellent. So you get the last word, Rob.
I get the last word. Well, I mean, I think the last word for me really would be, I think it's great that you are facilitating the conversation, because actually starting this conversation is the starting point to doing something about it. And actually, you know, if we all hide away and write a policy, as you said at the start, that then just gets put on the wall and forgotten about. I've written a policy, great. Actually, starting this conversation, having those conversations around the table, engaging with people like Carl, who are experts in the field, bringing their knowledge, I think, is absolutely, for me, the best way forward for the credit union movement as a whole, so that we can then start to share good practice, as we all do, but actually we then start to share good practice about getting the right board members there as well.
Kevin Fear and Rob Shearing, thanks very much. That was excellent. It's resoundingly clear that when we just talk to these few people, the conversation about race and ethnicity needs to take place. It's been my privilege to talk to these people on this project, and I want to say thanks especially to Robert Kelly, Marlene Shields, Val Walwyn-Tate, Carl George MBE, and Rob Shearing and Ken Fearon. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to Chris Smith on Talking Credit Unions. Until the next time, bye.